Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Ches. We begin 10 lines down at the two dots on Yud Ches Omer Aleph, and we quote a new Braisa, Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us Yesh be'ivri she'ein be'ivriya. There are certain dinim that apply to an Eved Ivri that aren't applicable to an Amoha Ivriya. We'll call them Ivri and Ivriya as the Gemara uses. We mean a male Jewish servant versus a female Jewish servant. However, it then says, Yesh b'ivriya, she'en b'ivri. There are also some things that only apply to an amoha ivriya that don't apply to the Eved Ivri. What are they? So the Braisa tells us, Yesh b'ivri, there are dinim that apply only to an Eved Ivri and not to the amoha ivriya. For example, that the Eved Ivri, shehu yotzei b'shanim, he goes out at the conclusion of the 6 years, uba yovel, or if the yovel comes, he goes out with the coming of the yovel, or uvimisa sa'adon, if the adon dies, and as we pointed out previously, if he is in the 6 years, so then he would still have to serve the son of the Adam that we learned in yesterday, we darshan this out from Sukkim. But if we're dealing here with a nirtza, so then even the son of the Adam he wouldn't have to serve. As opposed to Masha Ein Kein Bivriya, none of these dinim, Yotzei Bishanim, Uvi Yovel, Uvi Mises Adon, apply to a Amoho Ivriya. Now, this directly contradicts what we learned yesterday, so we'll have to explain this braisa momentarily. Let's finish reading the whole braisa, and then we'll get to this contradiction, because Yotzei Bishanim, Uvi Yovel, Uvimisas Adon all do apply to an Amar Ivriya. How can this Braisa say, Masha Ein Kein B'Ivriya, that it doesn't apply to Amar Ivriya? We'll get to that in a moment. The Braisa continues, and it says, V'yesh B'Ivriya, there is a din by an Amar Ivriya that doesn't apply by the Eved Ivri, Shahari Ivriya, the woman, the Amar Ivriya, Yotzah B'Simanim. She goes out when she reaches Naris, as opposed to the Eved Ivri does not. That doesn't contradict anything that we said previously, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as well. Finally, the Braisa concludes that Einon Nimkeres Venishnis, that the Amoha Ivriya also cannot be sold a second time. She can be sold once, but she can't be sold a second time, as opposed to the Eved Ivri that can be sold a second time. And finally, Umaftin Osot Baal Korcho, and she is able to be redeemed from the Adon Baal Korcho. We'll have a discussion. What does this mean, Baal Korcho? Does it mean against the Adon's will or against her father's will? So we'll explain this also momentarily. Umaftin Osot Baal Korcho, she can be redeemed against somebody's will as opposed to the Eved Ivri that cannot, and Masha Ein Kein B'Ivri, which is not true by an Eved Ivri. Okay, that's the whole Braisa. Now we'll dissect each piece. Omar Mar, as I mentioned many times, Gufo repeats the whole thing. Omar Mar usually repeats only part of it. So Omar Mar, we're going to first repeat the first part of this Braisa, which is problematic because it's contradicted by what we learned previously. So the first part of Braisa said, Omar Mar, Yesh B'Ivri, She B'Ivriya, there are these dinim, Yotzei Bishanim Uviyovul Mises Adon, that apply only to an Eved Ivri, but don't apply to an Amoha Ivriya. But that's not true. We learned yesterday, Rumini, that these apply as well to the Amoha Ivriya, Yesera, all of Amoha Ivriya, Shekonatzo B'Simanim. In addition to these three things which apply to Amoha Ivriya, she also goes out with Simanim. But these three things apply to the Amoha Ivriya. So how can you tell us here in this price that they don't? The prices are arguing with each other? So no, there's a very simple solution. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, Kigon Shia Adah. Here we're dealing with Yud. In fact, she was married to the Adon. He gave this money to purchase her, and we said the whole purpose, the father couldn't support her, and he's giving over his daughter. He doesn't have a dowry to give her, so he's selling her, so to say, that's the dowry. And with this Kesef, that's really Kesef Kedusha. We'll have a discussion at the end of this year exactly how that works. We'll wait till we get to then to see how this Yud exactly works. But we're dealing here with the fact that the Adon, in fact, married her. He is now her husband, and that's why she doesn't go out with Sheishanim. The marriage isn't over at the end of 6 years. The marriage isn't over at the Yovel. And the marriage isn't over with the Misas Ha'adon. The Mefarshim all question. But it is over with the Misas Ha'adon. So how can you say that? So Rashash has two terutzim. The Rashash says that this was a mistake in the Girsa. It shouldn't say B'Misas Ha'adon. It should say B'Giron Kesef. That she can't, so to say, pay off the debt and say, okay, I paid you off. Now I'm a free woman. No. So the proper terminology was that the Eved Ivri goes out with Sheish, Shonim, Yovel, or Giron Kesef, whereas the woman, if she's married through Yud, doesn't go out with either of those three. Alternatively, the Rasha says, no, even with the Misas Ha'adon, if they didn't have children, she doesn't go out yet. She then falls to Yibam. So the Rasha says the second possibility to explain, even given the gears of Misas Ha'adon, would be if they were childless and then the husband died. So she doesn't go out free, she falls to Yibam. In any event, that's how Rav Sheshes answers the steer between the Braises, that the Braisa we learned yesterday is talking about where there was no Yiyud. And here we're talking about where there's Yiyud. So yes, only the Eved Ivri goes out with these things, but the Amoha Ivriya does not go out. course, says that's obvious. Yo'odo pshita gita boya. She's a married woman. Of course, she doesn't go out with 6 years or Yovel or Giro and Kesef, or if she falls to Yibum. So, of course, she just doesn't go out with any of those things. That's obvious. Pshita, yo'odo pshita gita boya. She needs a get to go out. He says, no, you might not have thought that. Mal detemi, you might have said that since this is a special type of marriage called Yod, in fact, loli batla hilchasomino. In fact, with Yud, maybe she goes out at the end of 6 years. It's a marriage only until the end of 6 years. If she wants to walk away, she can. At the Oval, she could walk away if she wants to. She could pay off Giro and Kesef. Or with the Mises Adon, there is no din of Yibam. So you might have thought that that would be the din. Kamashul, and know that it's not. So that's why you needed the Brisa to tell us that it's not so poshut. Sumura says, Ihachi, am I Yotsu Simonim? So then wait a second. If the woman gets Simonim, the marriage falls apart. When the woman comes in Arab, she's no longer married. That's not true either then. So then why does it say that Yisera or love that she goes out with Simonim? Morris says, an answer, Hochi Kamar, the answer is, in lo yada, it's talking about if, in fact, Yud didn't take place, so then Yotso Af B'Simonim. Then she goes out with all of those things, and in addition, Yisera or love, she goes out with Simonim. Okay, so that's how we reconcile the first part of the Brisa with yesterday's Shir, yesterday's Brisa. There are no contradictions. Everything is fine. Then we said the Eino Nim Keres Vinishtas, that a woman who sold as an Omer Ivriya cannot be sold a second time, whereas an Eved Ivri can be sold a second time. So the more questions this and says, that implies, Michlal, the Eved Ivri Nimkar Vinishta. By the fact that you're saying that only an Omer Ivriya can't be sold a second time, that implies that an Eved Ivri could be sold a second time, but that goes against the following Braisa. For Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa that it says, Vinimkar Bigneva So, that if the person who's Jewish steals something and he can't pay it back, so then he's sold into servitude to go pay back the debt. That's Vinim Karabik neighbor. So that's what we'll be talking about the last couple of days, that the Eved who stole and can't pay it back, so Basin has the right to sell him. A mocher based it. So now, Bigneva, so it says, Vinimkar Bigneva, so implying that he's only allowed to be sold for the principal that he stole. Let's say he stole $1,000, but he would have to pay Kefal. He has to pay back $2,000, so we only sell him into servitude if he can't pay back the $1,000. But if it's $1,000 he could pay back, but he doesn't have enough money to pay back the $2,000, so then we don't sell him to servitude to pay the kefil. He'll owe the money, but we don't sell him to servitude. We don't sell him as an eved ivri, below bikvelo. So the word bigneva so means only for the gneva, the principal, and not for the kefil. Likewise, we darsha bigneva so, and the car bigneva so, below bizimomo. He has to be the one that actually stole it, as opposed to if witnesses come along and testify that he stole it, and then it turns out that those are false witnesses because they were edim zomimim. There were other witnesses said, how can you testify that he stole this on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. You were really with us in Chicago on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, not over here in New York at Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and that's called the special din of Edim Zomimim, and they have to do, they have to pay whatever they tried to cause. So they tried to cause this guy who they claimed was the Ganan to pay $1,000, so in turn, they have to pay $1,000. So in this situation, if the Edim Zomimim can't afford it, we don't sell him into servitude as an Eved Ivri, because it says, B'gnei Vaso, only with their stealing, the Lo B'Zmamim, but not if they caused this through Adam's Zomimim status to go and make him pay. Okay, finally, we'll dash it. B'gnei Vaso, V'nimkar B'gnei Vaso, it means, Kivon Shinimkar Pam Achas, since he sold for that Gneva, Shuv Iyatorashoy L'mochro. You don't sell him again for a second Gneva. So therefore, we see over here, Bigneva so, Rashi says, Kesol Kedaitach, Vinimkar Bigneva so, is Mashma Le, Vinimkar Pam Achas, Velo Shtei Mechiros. So this Brisa says you can only sell an Eved Ivri once. And our Brisa seems to imply only the Omo Ivriya can't be sold a second time, but the Eved Ivri can be sold a second time. So again, the two Brisa seem to be in contradiction to each other. So Omo Rava says they're not, Lokasha, there is no steer between the two Brisas. The Brisa over here that we just brought down, the Vinimkar Bigneva so, that implies that Shinimkar Pam Achas, Shuviato, Rashoy Lemochro, that's dealing Kam Bigneva Achas, that's dealing with one Gneva. As Rashi says, Bigneva Achas, Pam Achas, one time he stole, Din Eno Shova, Kol Gneva So, Eno Nimkar Bishul Chetzo, Ulchiyotze, Yimoche, Mishum Chetzo Hasheni. So, what happens is, let's say a guy stole $1,000, right? But he's only worth $500. So, okay, sell him for 6 years for $500. New, he paid off the first $500. Now, sell him another 6 years for another $500. So, he'll pay off the other $500. That, the Brisa says, you can't do. Because it says, Nimkar B'Gneva. So, only one time do you sell him for that one thievery. Kam B'Gneva Achas. However, the first Brisa would say, you can sell him again. Only an Omer Ivriya can't be sold a second time. It's Kam B'Shnei G'Nevos. We're dealing with two G'Nevos. As Rashi points out, even if he wasn't taking it to court, and he stole a second time, and now we're bringing it to court. Now, he stole $1,000 twice. He's only worth $1,000. So Nimkar, you sell him for the first Geneva, and then you sell him for the second Geneva. So therefore, the Brai said, it says, only an Oma Avriya can't be sold a second time, but an Eved Ibri can be sold a second time. It's talking about exactly such a case, where there were two Geneva's over here, and he's allowed to be sold one time for each Geneva. That's how you reconcile the two Brai's, according to Rava. Abaye doesn't like this. Omele Abaye. Abaye says, big Geneva so, implies tuva mashma, it implies more than once. As Rashi says, Omad al shteyim b'din echad. Rashi explains that Abaye's problem is, he says, what happens if this guy stood in judgment for both of them at the same time? So that's called big neighbor so. So he stole twice, but you're judging him once, so then you can only sell him one time. You can't sell him twice. So how does Abaye understand the steer between the two prices? He says, also, no problem. Elom Abaye lo kasha can be odom echad, can be shmei be odom. We're not dealing with the same person. In the price it said that an Omar Ria can't be sold twice, but an Eved Ivri can be sold twice. Because if you're dealing over here, can be Odom Echad, with only one person who he stole from that person two times, but it was judged one time. So then our second Brisa that says that you're not allowed to go sell him a second time, that's referring to when he stole from one person twice and he's being judged one time. But the first price that says Omer Ivriya can't be sold twice, but an Eved Ivri can be sold twice, can be shnei b'nei odom. It's talking about two people, and each one is a separate judgment. In a kind of name itself, Rashi points out it can even be to the same person. He stole from this person in 2015, and he served for 6 years. In 2021, he comes out, he steals from the same guy again, so he could be sold again for 6 years if he has no money to pay it back. So even it could be the same person, but it's two separate Genevas, two separate judgments. So that's how a buyer reconciles the two prices. Okay, now let's look into a little bit more this din of how you sell a person, the Nimkar B'Gneva, so that he sold for his thievery. How does that exactly work? Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa says, Gnevo, if the person stole Elef, 1,000, this Shav V'Chamesh Mios, and he's only worth 500, so then Nimkar V'Chosev Nimkar. The Tanakhama, this Brisa says, that's exactly the case. You sell him once for the 500, and then you sell him a second time for the second 500. This Brisa, the Tanakhama, says, you can do that. However, Gnevo Chomesh Meos, he stole 500, Veshav Elef, and he's worth 1,000, so Eino Nimkar Klal. Then you can't sell him at all, because you have to sell him for 6 years. And here, he would only have to be sold for 3 years to make the 500 bucks that he stole. He's worth 1,000, so after 3 years, he would have paid off his debt, and therefore you can't sell him at all. That's this Tanakam of the Brisa. Rebbe Lezer disagrees. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Imbayo Gnevo Kineged Mimkaru Nimkar. Rebbe Lezer says that only in a situation where the amount that he stole is exactly his value, do you sell him for the 6 years. However, Bimlav, if it's not, either way, he's worth more than the Gnevo, the Gnevo is worth more than him, Bimlav, ain't no Nimkar, you can't sell him. Now, Rava says, Rabbi Elez's opinion sounds more correct. Amar Rava, Beha, in this machlokes, Zachinhu, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer's understanding is more consistent, it's more correct, and he wins this debate. Rashi says, Yesh lo pischom peh, v'nitzachom b'machlokes zeh. Rabbi Elezer will win in this machlokes from a logical point of view. Why is that? Because demai shno, why should it make any difference? Genevo, chamesh mios, he stole 500. Vishova elef, he's worth 1,000. They don't nimkar. Then we say, in that situation, he can't be sold because we're selling us the nimkar. When the pasuk says, v'nimkar b'genevo so, it means all of him, kulo, has to be sold. On Rahman, and here, only half of him is sold below chetzu because he'd only have to work for 3 years. So, once you're saying that, so the other way it works as well. Lo chanami, nimkar b'gneva so, Amar Rechmona, the Torah tells us he has to be sold for his gneva, v'lo nimkar b'chatzi gneva so, and he can't be sold for half of the gneva. In other words, he's only worth 500, so he's being sold for 6 years for half of the gneva. So Rabbi Elezer is consistent. Unless it's 1,000 that he stole and 1,000 that he's worth, for example, so it has to be the exact same amount, we don't apply v'nimkar b'gneva so. As opposed to the Tanakhama that says sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So Rava says that Rabbi Elezer's argument is more logical. Then we go back to the Brisa. So we said, Umatino saw Bal Korcho. We said that we will redeem this woman even against, quote, his will. And the Gemara says, whose will are we talking about? Sava Rava Lameima. Rava first wanted to suggest Bal Korche de Adon. We're talking about that you can redeem this woman even against the will of the person who purchased her. So that's what Rava wanted to suggest. Omele Abaye. Abaye says, no, that's not right. My niyu. Why should that be the case? As Rashi says, Diba Masu Mayniu, Hechidomi Bal Korcho de Ivriya, Tfei Me Ivri. Then why would that be the case that the Omo Ivriya can be sold can be brought back from the person who bought it, but not the Eved Ivri. Why would there be a difference between the two? My Nihu, what we're saying, what the scenario must be, the Kasavna Le Shtara Adomel, that we force the father to write an IOU. We force the father to say, listen, here is the IOU that says I owe you X amount of money and I'm buying back my daughter, I'm redeeming back my daughter. So why would that only work for an Amo Evria and not an Eved Ivri? And furthermore, am I Nokit Marganiso Bidei Yohivno Lech Aspa? The man who purchased the daughter has a diamond in his presence. He has a Marganisa, he has a pearl in his possession. So he's going to give back this pearl just to get a piece of paper, an IOU that's worth nothing. It's like a shard of pottery, it's like chaspa. So absolutely not. So therefore, why would it make any difference over here that he can give an IOU to redeem back his daughter? He obviously doesn't have the money. So why would he be allowed to give an IOU to redeem back his daughter? And furthermore, why should that work for a daughter, for the Amor of Ria, and not for an Eved Ivri? So the more answers, El Omar Abai, you know, we're talking about Baal Korche the Av. Abai says it's not Baal Korche the Adon. It's saying we can force the father, if he has the money, to go and redeem back his daughter. Mishum Pagam Mishpacha, because this is embarrassment to the family. He has the money, so he has to purchase back his daughter. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosus doesn't like this, because Tosus would say then, so then he'll sell her again. So therefore, Tosus says, we force the other family members to go and purchase back the father's daughter, the brothers or the uncles. We force them, if they have the money, to go, even against the will of the father, to go and purchase back the daughter. The Gemara says, Ihachi, Eved Ivri Nami. So then why should be a difference between an Omo Ivriya and an Eved Ivri? Nich Pinu Livne Mishpacha Mishum Pekam Mishpacha. We should force the family to go and purchase back the Eved Ivri as well, because of Pekam Mishpacha. It's embarrassing for the family. The Gemara says, Hadar Azul Mazab Nafshe, because he'll go back and sell himself again. So that wouldn't accomplish anything. So therefore, the Eved Ivri can sell himself, so the family isn't forced to go redeem. The Gemara says, Hacha Nami. The father could sell the daughter back again. Hacha Hadar Azul Mazab Nafshe. So if you force the father, or the members of the family, like Tosa says, to force the father, to force the Adon to go and redeem this girl back into the father will sell her again. Someone says, no. Oh, that we already just learned, that the father is not allowed to sell her a second time, so therefore there is no such concern. And whose opinion is that, that the father can't sell her a second time? Umani, Rabbi Shimoni, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, we learn the following braisa, Mocher Adam es bito leishus vishone. The Tanakhama says that a person is allowed to sell his daughter, to give her over to you, to someone to marry her, to go and become her husband. And then, if that doesn't work out, if he dies or he divorces her, so returns back to the father, so he can go and sell her again. Vishone, he would be permitted to go and sell her again, for yield purposes, to go and marry somebody else. So that's the Tanakam's opinion. And the same thing, l'shivchus, if he sold his daughter just as a shivcha, it wasn't for yield purposes, v'shona, he'd be allowed to go and sell her again for shivcha purposes. If she worked 6 years and she wasn't yet a nara, he could sell her a second time. That's the Tanakam's opinion. However, l'ishus achar shivchus, he likewise would be allowed to go and sell her, according to the Tanakhama, for marriage after he sold her for shivchus purposes. So she returned after the 6 years. She wasn't yet a naira. He's allowed to sell her this time for yid purposes, and she could go and marry that person. However, the other way around, avolo l'shivchus achar ishus. But if he sold her for yid purposes, and then he either divorced her or he died, and she then comes back into his domain, he would not be allowed to sell her for shivcha. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. And along comes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, kishem she'en oda mocher es bito l'shivchus achar ishus, so too, kach ein oda mocher es bito l'shivchus achar shivchus. So just like you can't sell your daughter to be a shivcha after you sold her for yid purposes, so too you can't sell your daughter for a shivcha after you sold her the first time for a shivcha. So this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara says that this machlokis over here between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama actually parallels a machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar. Ubepluksa dahani tanoi, this machlokis parallels that machlokis. Why? The Tanya, because we learn in the following braisa, so the pasuk says li am nochri lo yimsho lemochra bevigdo va. So you have this pasuk telling us that the father doesn't have the right to go and sell her li am nochri lo yimsho lemochra. He's not allowed to sell it to am nochri, which means to another person, after bevigdo va, after this was done, bevigdo va. What does that mean, bevigdo va? We turn to Yud Ches Amud Beis, to have the machlokis over here between the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. So what is this? So Gemara says, Kivan sheperas taliso aleha, once the Odom, the Baal, so to say, puts his garment, his talis, his beged over her, so then, shuv ein rashay lemochra. Then, even if she returns to the father, if unfortunately, let's say he divorces her or he dies, so she returns back into the domain of her father. She's not yet an Ara, so Shuv ain't Rashoy Lamochwa. The father is no longer allowed to sell her. Divri Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Rashash interestingly points out that this is actually the makar for the husbands putting the veil over their brides at the bedecking at a wedding. So it's based upon this, Kivan Shapirash Taliso allowed that this was a custom, that they would put their garment, their cloak, over the woman, so we put the veil over the woman, and that is part of the process of the bedekking. In any event, this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and this we'll see in a moment, is based upon the opinion of Yesh Eim LeMikra. This is a famous machlokes. Do we say Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMesores? Do we say that the Torah, the truest interpretation, is based upon the pronunciation, the mikra, the way you pronounce it, or do we say, no, it's based upon in the Masoris, the way the Masoris come down, as the way it's actually printed. Now, there is actually no machlokis on how to pronounce the word. That's not the question. The machlokis is only on which one takes priority, so to say, in our darshaning and our understanding. Do we say the way it's pronounced takes priority, as we'll see over here in this case in a second, but there's a machlokis throughout Shas, throughout many, many drashos, or do we say that the way the Masorah, the way it's written down, takes the priority, even though it's pronounced in a different way? So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, Yesh Eim LeMikra, as we will see. He says, we pronounce this word Bivigdova as if it had a yud in it, and that teaches us this is from a lashon of beged, of a clothing, sheperas taliso olah. So he darshens bivigdova, meaning after yud you can't go and do ein la'am nochri lo yimshol machwa bivigdova. After you put your talis over it, after you had yud, so then if the woman unfortunately then returns back to her father's domain with the death or the divorce from the husband, so then the father no longer can sell her. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in this brisa. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer, or Mary Eliezer, disagrees. He says, Yesh Eim LeMesores, the way it's spelled, is the critical thing. And there's no yud there. So Bevigdova is spelled without a yud, and it implies Kivan Shebogadba. And each of them uses various psukim Rashi brings down to support what they're saying. We'll see the Rashi's inside in a second. But this is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that you focus on Bogad, rebellion. So Kivan Shabogad Ba, the father sold his daughter. So it's like a rebellion. Shuv Ein Rashai LeMochor. He no longer has the right to go and sell her after that. So even if he sold her as a Shivcha, he can't go and then when she returns to the domain, sell her again as a Shivcha. Now, what are they arguing about? My commitment, as I mentioned, Rabbi Eliezer Savar Yesh Eim LeMesores. Rabbi Akiva Savar Yesh Eim LeMikra. What exactly is this machlokis? So look in Rashi, in Dibur Amasko LeMesores. Bivigdo Ksiv. It is spelled Bibogdo, as if it was written without the Yud. Below Bivigdo, with the Yud. Ein Varas chirik below yud. We don't pronounce the E sound unless there's a yud. So he agrees that you pronounce it, vivigdo, but it's as if that is not there. And therefore, the nikuda shetachas habeis, therefore, instead of bivigdo, so that nikuda, instead of it being like a yud, the welcome yud, mishtameses, abol lefi mashikosav hayalolikros chatav komatz. Even though we pronounce it bivigdo, you should have pronounced it bogdo. Loshon begida, rebellion. Kemo shato kore bishamo es divrei halah, not bishimo es divrei halah, bishamo es divrei halah. So it's bivogdova is the primary way to understand this, which is a loshon of rebellion. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Yesh Eim LeMesores. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says Yesh Eim LeMikra. Rashi continues bivigdo karinon. When Eishes Potiphar grabs Yosef's garment, she's grabbing it without the yod, it's still pronounced bibigdo. So this lashon bibigdo ba is a lashon of a beged, and therefore Rabbi Akiva has his shita Yesh Eim LeMikra. No, has Rabbi Shimon hold? Rabbi Shimon actually holds like both of them. Rabbi Shimon Savar law, Yesh Eim LeMikra, Vila Masoris. So he is concerned about the opinion of both Rabbi Akiva and the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, he goes like Rabbi Akiva and says that once you have given her for yield, you can't sell her. And even if you've given her over as a Shivcha, like Rabbi Eliezer, you can't sell her. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He holds both, Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMesores. Only problem is, Rashi and Tosus both point out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold both of them. There it says, in regards to the famous drasha, basukos, 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 so Rabbi Shimon, he says, yeshem lemikra. He paskins yeshem lemikra. So how can you tell us over here? He paskins both yeshem lemikra and yeshem lemisores. So Rashi answers that no. When you have to go one way or the other, the drasha is basukos, 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 is either you paskin yeshem lemikra or you paskin yeshem lemisora. You can't paskin both. So therefore, he chose in that situation to paskin yeshem lemikra. However, in this situation over here, where the two aren't mutually contradictory, you could paskin yeshem lemikra, you could paskin yeshem lemisora over here, and it means both, as Rabbi Shimon said, that you're not allowed to go and sell her after she was sold as a shivcha the first time. You're not allowed to go sell her if she was sold for yid purposes the first time. You still can't sell her as a shivcha the second time. So therefore, there's no contradiction, and therefore Rabbi Shimon over here says we both follow yeshem lemikra and yeshem lemisoras. Okay. Boy, Rabba Baravua, Rabba Baravua is the following shayla. Yud, this giving over of the daughter for the father to this Baal, this Odon, for Yud purposes, does that make the Yud into Nisuin Osa or Erisin Osa? Is she considered a Nisua after that is done, or is she considered an Arusa? So the Gemara says, what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is Liyarsha, Litamila, Ulahafir Nidareh. Like we said many, many times, the Baal, if he's only the husband as an arusa for the girl, so then he doesn't have the right to inherit her. He doesn't have the right if he's a kohen to be metami too, if she, Rachmon al-Islam, dies. And he is not only by himself able to be made for nedarim. She still is in the domain also of her father, so they both have to be made for the nedarim. As opposed to if she's a full-fledged nesua, then he is yorshining her. He is physically able to be metami to her, and he has full rights to be made for an adarim. So therefore, what is the halacha? Do we say over here, Yud makes her into an arusa, or does Yud make her into a nesua? So let's bring it right from the following. Tashma, it says in the Braisa, the words bevigdova, it teaches us kivan sheperas taliso alel, like we just explained, since the husband, so to say, spread out his garment over, this Adon spread his garment out over her, so then, if he dies or divorces her, shuv ein rasha lemochwit, when she goes back into the domain of her father, he no longer has the right to go and sell her. That's what we just brought down, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Zabune hu delo mazbin la. So the father's not allowed to sell her. The implication is, ha yield miyad la, but he would be allowed to go and remarry her off again for yield to a second person. Now, the amris nisuin osa. If you're going to tell me that yield makes nisuin, so then, once she was a nisua to the first husband, how could the father take her back into his domain and marry her off? Given the nisis, shuv ein lavi rishuspa. If she was a nisua and never her husband died, or if her husband divorced her and she goes back to her father's house, but she doesn't go back into her father's domain in that situation, he's not allowed to marry her off again. So therefore, it must be that the yield is only Erisin and not Nisuin, because if it was Nisuin, he wouldn't have the right to marry her off again. But it says he's allowed to marry her off again, so Elalav Shmamino, Erisin Osa. What says Lav Dafka? Amr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hocha B'Kiddush D'Amakai. Who says that this Braisa is talking about a case of yield? That was a full-fledged nisuin that we were dealing with. And in that situation, Mahalchi Kamar, the Braisa is telling us, Kivan Shemasar Avia, Lemishin Ischayev Bishayra, Kasusav Yonasa, since the father gave over to somebody who's going to be responsible for all the responsibilities that a husband has to his wife, share Kasus and Ona, or he has to go and clothe her, he has to give her food, he has to give her shelter, and he has to have relations with her. So once that is done, so then, Shuv Eino Yochel Mochwa, then the father cannot sell her again if she comes back to him. So that's referring to a case of Kiddushin, real Kiddushin, not of Yud. And therefore, we can't learn anything out about Yud. Does Yud make Erisin or does Yud make Nisun? Try again. Toshma. We learn from another Braisa. Ein Mocho Lekrovin. A father is not allowed to sell his daughter off to a relative, to a Karov, who wouldn't be allowed to go and marry her. So he wouldn't be allowed to sell her off, for example, to his father-in-law. He wouldn't be allowed to do that. So Ein Mocho Lekrovin, that aren't allowed to marry her. Meshrum Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Mochro Lekrovim. Rabbi Eliezer does say, however, he is allowed to marry, to sell her off to a Karov. Now, Vishavin, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer both agree, Shemochro Almona Lekoin Gadol, that if she was an Almona, when she returns to her father, and he's allowed to marry her off again, which will be the question, how is he allowed to do that if she was an Asua? So, if he marries her off to a Kohen Gadol, then everybody agrees that's allowed because the Kiddushin would be Chal, albeit it would be an Aveira. And likewise, if she was a Gerusha of a Chalutza, he would be allowed to go and marry her off to a Kohen Hedjel, Bein the Tanakama, Bein the Rabbi Yazir. Now, this Almana that everybody agrees he would be allowed to go and marry off this Almana that comes back to him, Hay Almana Hechidam, what are we talking about? Ilemo, the Kaddish Navshah, if this young girl who was a Ketana accepted Kiddushin for herself, that's Zilch. Almana, Kari Lab, would we call her an Almana? Obviously, that can't be the case. She can't marry herself off, she's a Ketana. the kedushin wouldn't be chal. So the only way this ketana could be married, Elo, the kid Shavi, her father married off. Now, mi motzi bezabin lo, how could the father marry off a second time? V'ha, ein ad demolcher es bito l'shivchus acharishus. But how could he go and sell her off? We just brought down the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that after you married her, and then she comes back, you're not allowed to sell her as a shivcha. So we're working within the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara will explain on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, why we don't want to say that this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer Shemutihu, Rashi tells us, and therefore we don't want to pass like Rabbi Eliezer unless we're forced to, because he was put into Chayim because of the famous Maisa of the Tanur Achinoi. So the Gemara is trying to fit this into the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, if Rabbi Akiva says that once she comes back to him after marriage, she's not allowed to sell her off as a shivcha, so the Amr of Amram, Amr of Yitzchak, Rabbi Amram says the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, Hocha be Kiddush Yid, we're talking about Kiddush Yid, and Valiba, the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says the Amr, Mos Harishonos, lively Kiddush Yid, when the father gave the daughter over, he got money. That money is not the Kesef Kedushin. When the Baal decides to again go marry her, he has to go and forgive that loan, so to say, and that's the Kesef Kedushin, but not the money that the father got. Now, in this situation then, the Amris Nisuin Ose, if you're telling me that the yield that the Baal eventually does with the girl is a full-fledged Nisuin, so then, how could she return to her father's domain? Kivan Shani says, if she was in the Suah, Shuv Ein Liavir Rishuspa, then the father wouldn't be allowed to go and marry her off. So therefore, it must be that Yud makes Kiddushin and not Nisuin. That's the Raya. Where says, really? Velamai, what are you telling me? That Arison, oh, said that Yud makes Arison? So then, we still got a problem, because Vishav and Shemokra, everybody agrees that in this situation, Ha Ein Adamokhis Bito Lashivchos Acharishos, they all agree that you can't go and sell after there was Ishus. So you're telling me it's Erisin? But that doesn't work either. So Gemara says, Ela mai isklamem, what must you say? That shiny Erisin di da, the Erisin di avio, that the yield Erisin is different than the Erisin that the father gave her over as a pure marriage. And therefore, once you're saying there's a difference between yield and a regular kiddushin, so then, afilu temo nisuin also. Then you can say that the yield could make nisuin, but just like the Yud is different, even if you want to say that Yud makes Nisuin, nevertheless, Shaini Nisuin Dida, Minisuin Davia. So this Yud is different if it's done through Yud than even if through a Nisuin that is done through the father. And that's why there could be a different thing. Person says, why would you say that? Hi, my. Bishlama Erisin, May Erisin, Shaini. We can understand why the Erisin of Yud would be different than the Erisin that the father gives her over for Kiddushin, because that is a different process. The Yud could turn her into an Arusa, and Kiddushin would turn her into an Arusa as well, but they're different processes. But Elo Nisuin Misuin, why would you suggest that the Nisuin of Yi would be different than the Nisuin of a regular marriage? Once she's a fully married lady, as we turn to Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Mishaini, what difference does it make? How you got to be a fully fledged married woman in a Sua? That shouldn't make any difference. So that can't be the answer. So it must be that, in fact, we can use this as a Raya, that Yud makes her into an Arusa and doesn't make her into an Asua. Alternatively, the Gemara says, "Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who says the Amar Afilu Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Mos Rishonus LeKiddushin Nitnu, that money is given from the Adon to the father, and that's actually Kiddushin money, not that he'll later on be Makadishah. Even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that the Mos Rishonus are LeKiddushin Nitnu. So then, how would you explain this B'mai Mokim Law? We accept it only works out according to the other opinion that says it's not LeKiddushin Nitnu, but according to the opinion of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, in the name of Rav Yosef Yehuda, that says that the Mos are for Kiddushin purposes, so then how would you learn this? So then you're stuck. You can't learn it like Rabbi Akiva, Mokin Lo Rabbi Eliezer. Then you have to learn that like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Yom LeShivchos, Achar Shivchos, who the Lo Motzi Mimazin Law, that only if he sold originally for Shivcha, the 6 years are up, or Yovel came, and she goes back to her father's domain, he is not allowed in that situation to sell her a second time. However, Avol LeShivchos, Achar Ishos, if she was a yield that was done with Kiddushin, that was the original money, was L'Shem Kiddushin, and then he either dies, the husband dies, or he divorces her, and she goes back into the father's domain, so then the father does have the right, according to Rabbi Eliezer, L'Shivchos, Achar Ishos, Motzi Mazmin Law, and that's how you have to learn it. So again, we have two opportunities to learn it. We could try to learn it the way that we did according to Rabbi Akiva, but you can learn it even according to Rabbi Eliezer. And here's what Rashi points out. Why didn't we want to give this answer originally? Because the Lo Rabbi Eliezer Mishum Dishamutihu, because Rabbi Eliezer is the famous opinion that he had disagreement with the Chachamim over the Tanur Achinoi, and therefore we don't want to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer unless we have no choice. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.